Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. Oh, it's a joy and it's a privilege to be back with you again and to be able to share these next few minutes together in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord has laid a message on my heart that I believe will be a great blessing to you. And before we begin this journey together in Scripture, let's just take a few moments and ask the Lord's blessing in His presence. Father, we thank You that Your Word declares wherever two or three are gathered in Your name. Lord, You're not limited by time. You're not limited by distance. And Father, You have chosen to allow this radio broadcast to be on this station, to be on the internet, the World Wide Web, and have allowed us to be a voice of encouragement and strength to God's people, to bring those who are afar off back into the family of God. And Lord, I'm asking right now that every listener that is hearing my voice at this moment, You who have such great love for them, that You will minister to their needs. Father, those who are suffering physical battles, illness and sickness in their body, I thank You, Father, standing on Your word that by the stripes of Jesus Christ we were, Peter said, already healed. So, Father, I release healing. I speak healing not only to bodies, but to minds and hearts and emotions. Those who have been going through difficult times right now, Lord, I'm asking for great mercy and strength and comfort to them. Father, thank You, Lord, that we can come to You regardless of where we're at, regardless of how we feel. We thank You, Lord, that by faith we live the victorious Christian life. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And Father, You who began that work, You who gave to each one of us, Lord, a measure of faith, that You are in the process of perfecting and completing and accomplishing a perfect and a good work in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for it. Amen and amen. Well, I would like to share a message which I've entitled Waters of the Spirit. And I want to share, before we go into the passage of Scripture, share a verse that I trust will be familiar to you, found in the Gospel of John. And I'm going to start reading at verse 37. And this was near the end of Jesus' ministry. He was in Jerusalem preparing to fulfill the Father's will of going to the cross. And in verse 37, John records, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water,'" waters that are running and clear and of the Spirit of the Lord. But then hear what John adds in verse 39. The words that I just shared, those were the words of Jesus in red in the King James. Verse 39 says, "But this spake he of the Spirit," referencing the Holy Spirit, "which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And of course, John is referring to that marvelous day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, was given to the church, and because of the sacrifice of Jesus, no longer was it just the high priest who could go into the holy place, but by faith through the blood of Jesus, as it speaks of in Hebrews, we can now enter into the very presence of God. Every single believer has that beautiful, precious relationship with his Savior. And so I want to talk about living water. I want to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit, beloved, not only in our individual lives, but in the corporate body of Christ. We need to be praying, beloved, for our churches, for our leaders, those who are in positions of leadership, pastors, evangelists, teachers, those who are, in the pulpit, ministering the bread of life to those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And so, as I have been seeking the Lord, I've been asking the Lord to bring into understanding a passage of Scripture that, as I'm going to share and read, fairly lengthy, but it's setting the foundation and the backdrop, if you will, for what the Lord wants to show and teach us, found in the references in 2 Kings, the third chapter. And I'm going to be sharing quite a few verses, but I'm doing this hopefully with the Lord's help, and by His provision, you'll be able to stay with me for the next several days. And as I say from time to time, if at any point you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear it, feel free to go to the Unveiled Christ, that's UNVEILED, Christ.org website, and you can, they're archived there for a number of years. You can listen anytime at your convenience. And so we're going to look at what seems to be a rather obscure incident in the lives of God's people, but to find application for our lives today. So let me begin reading now in 2 Kings, the third chapter. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. If you remember, Ahab was a very wicked king, and now his son Jehoram was in his place. He did put away the images of Baal that his father had made, but in verse 3 it says, nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And if you recall, historically, Jeroboam, when he became king of Israel, even by the word of the Lord, he was afraid that the people would depart from him. And so he set up worship centers and enlisted and conscripted some of the most unsavory types to be the priesthood. And there was idolatry going on in the furthermost northern part of the kingdom, in Dan, and also in the southern portion, because he did not want the people going to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And so that's what the scriptures are referencing here. He didn't serve Baal, but there was golden calves set up at these places of worship. Verse 4 says, and Misha, king of Moab, was sheepmaster and rendered unto the king of Israel, that was, of course, Jehoram, 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. So basically, he was paying tribute to keep the peace, Moab was, to the king of Israel. But it came to pass that when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And of course, that's true with every new administration. Perhaps they felt that Jehoram was not going to follow or deal with them as with Ahab his father, and so they rebelled. And in verse 6 it says, and King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all of Israel. He basically called all the military soldiers, the troops together. And in verse 7, of course, you understand the kingdom was divided at this point in time. He went to see Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said in answer, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. And of course, it's not specifically mentioned right here, but they also enlist the assistance of the king of Edom. Verse 9 says, "So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass, or made a circle of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them." They were in a very difficult situation. There was no water, and we're talking about a large troop of men as well as animals. Verse 10 says, "And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' But Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?' And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, 'Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphath, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.' And Jehoshaphat said, 'The word of the Lord is with him.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, 'What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother.' And the king of Israel said unto him, 'Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee.'" That was his opinion of Jehoram, and of course the idolatry that he was leading the people of Israel into. Well, my time is gone, and on tomorrow's broadcast we'll just pick up right here and share a few more verses, and then we'll get into understanding what was the purpose of this, what was God doing, and what kind of applications can we glean for our own personal lives. Beloved, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us, but we need an impartation of fullness of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water," as never before in the days in which we live, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church. Well, my time has gone, and I close with love, thanking you for joining me today. And if you're feeling the movement of the Holy Spirit upon you, if you have prayer needs, if you need prayer, there's power in agreeing prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.